Well, welcome everybody. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I want to call you, wherever you are at, to come and worship our God as we sing these prayers together, these songs of praise, to make all of our lives out about His glory. Let's do it together. I want to make,
oh, I want to make my life all about Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. In everything I do, in everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life all about Your honor, morning, noon, and night. My best I want to offer in everything I do.
So I pray, oh God,
in everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise.
So this is our prayer. Make me an instrument.
Make me an instrument. Make me a song of praise. Make me a shining light that radiates Your ways. Make me a masterpiece. Lord, put me on display that I may ever be a picture of Your grace. I want to make my life all about Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. In everything I do,
everything I say,
everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life
all about Your honor,
oh, morning, noon, and night. My best I want to offer in everything I do,
everything I say, this part, Your glory, Your honor.
Oh, Your glory, Your honor. That's what I want my life to be all about. Your goodness, Your kindness, Your life in me, ever reaching out. Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be all about. Your loving, Your power, Your life in me, ever reaching out. Your glory, Your honor. That's what I want my life to be all about. Your reaching out, Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be all about. Your loving, Your power, Your life in me, ever reaching out.
He's coming on the clouds.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow. And every chain will break. Broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord?
Let's declare it together, our God.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting our battles. Cause every knee will bow before Him.
So open up the gates.
So open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord?
sing, who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Let's take it up. That's our prayer today, that you would take all of our lives and would you work, bring together all things for our good and for your glory. Help us to trust that today in Jesus' name. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in these last days." Would that truth of God's word wash over your soul today, that there's a fresh, new, living hope for you today, not a hope that is grounded in ages past, but it's a living hope. It's come to breathe new life into you, to sustain you in this moment. And so it's predicated on the truth of the resurrection. If Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, nothing can stand against us. Nothing can stand against the Lord God Almighty. So we're going to sing, Bree's going to sing this song over us, and we're going to worship together.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness shadows of my soul, the work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Let's all sing, who could imagine?
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages step down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame.
The cross is spoken.
The cross is spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ.
Great hope. Then came the morning.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the rain has no
Well, the Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we're so blessed that we have so many great musicians that come and give of their time every weekend to come and to lead you in worship where you're at, and we pray that it's a blessing to you, that it would encourage you, that it would strengthen your spirit, and we just wanted to share a little bit of the joy of the heart of God with you where you're at as we play this song by written by a great musician, one of our great Christian brothers, Abe Laboriel. This is the doxology, or the praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Oh, shout unto God with joy in all the earth. Come together before praises now and evermore. Oh, shout unto God with joy in all the earth. Come together before Him with gladness and with praise. Know that the Lord has made us, we are His alone. Singing His praises now and evermore. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all ye creatures here below. Throne and praise His name.
ukulele's gonna play it. Here we go. One. Thank you again for joining us in this time of worship today on this weekend where we remember the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. One of the quotes that I read this week by him that so moved me is a quote where he says that we must learn to accept finite disappointments in life, but never lose our infinite hope that we live with. Dr. King lived a life where he was deeply rooted in his faith in Jesus Christ. And today we worship that same King, Jesus Christ. So would you pray with me as we close our time in worship? Father, we thank you because we get to worship you. We thank you that we can lift up our hands. We thank you that we can lift up our voice and lift up our hearts in gratitude towards you. We know that so many of us carry disappointments in life. But our infinite hope is placed in you, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so on this weekend, where we honor the life and legacy of Dr. King, we choose to remember that his faith was deeply rooted in you. And so we join our hearts to his in worship of you, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I hope you're having a blessed Martin Luther King Jr. weekend as we continue to honor his life and legacy through the ministry of love and justice that he encouraged us to do. If you're part of Christian Assembly, we would encourage you to find a small group of people to do life with. We call these groups life groups. And you can go to our website to find more information on life groups or any information on any of our other ministries, including our kids' church ministries and our student ministries, which is called CA Students. We also encourage you to keep giving online through our Christian Assembly LA app, or you can visit the website and click on the Give tab. And once again, we just want to say thank you for your ongoing generosity. And now, let's continue in our time of worship as we hear the sermon for today.
I am created in the image of God.
I am created in the image of God.
In the image of God.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Marvelous are your works.
Marvelous are your works.
And I know this very well.
And I know this very well.
And we celebrate
that your kingdom
is made of people of every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Tribe, tongue, and nation.
각 나라와 족속과 백성과 방언.
各人의 몸의 나치 다 племени.
从各国 各族和各民来的人们
Tribu, lengua y nación
Selahat ng bayan, angkan, lahi at wika
Tsel, lezu, yeb ask
Tribe, tongue, and nation
And for all of that and more, we give you praise
We give you praise
We give you praise
We give you praise
Woo! Hey, that's powerful.
Hey, welcome everybody. My name is Tom, whether you're a visitor, a guest, or a longtime part of the CA family. Great to be with you. Man, I love that video that we just saw. In fact, I love the truths of that video even more. Well, happy Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and we honor Dr. King, who confronted both prejudice and racism with love born of his faith in Christ and the gospel, and he had the strength of character to confront violence with nonviolence as he called us as a country to greater justice, born in love for one another. And I am grateful for his life and work. Well, I'm sure that you're familiar with the name of the great composer, Johann Sebastian Bach. His musical work is legendary. In fact, in 2019, Bach was named the greatest composer of all time in a poll conducted among 174 living composers. And maybe you've heard the story and know that when it was at the end of his written compositions, Bach would write the letters SDG, which stood for "To the Glory of God Alone." But Bach wrote two other initials on his pieces as well, and these ones weren't written at the end. They were written at the very beginning of a blank page before he began his composition. The letters were JJ, and JJ stood for Jesu Iuva, Latin for Jesus, help. In other words, as I stare at this blank page, Bach was saying, help me to make the most of this musical gift that you've given me as I write this composition. Now, you and I might not be staring at the blank page of musical composition, but in many ways we are staring at a blank year of composition ahead of us called 2021. And as we begin to write 2021 with Jesus' help, here's what he says we can do. We can love one another across our differences. Now, here at Christian Assembly Church, we have a lot of different differences in our congregation. We have different generations who call CA home, different ethnicities who call CA home, people of different income levels, different education levels, some who are investigating faith for the very first time, others who have walked with Jesus for decades. A lot of differences among us. But I want to equip us first with the why, and then with the how, that we can love across our differences in 2021. Well, we're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. Jesu Iuva, Jesus help, help me give this message. And help each person who's listening to open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us in this message from God's word, and then not only hear it, but then live it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's word, the Bible, is constant in its teaching and commands for us to love one another. The foundation of our love for one another is God's love for us shown in Jesus. In fact, we see this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 and onward. It says this, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And this is a provocative line. Here it is. And his love is brought to full expression in us. Now, why can we love one another across our various differences? If I summarize what we just read from 1 John, 1 John would answer the question this way. I can love, or we can love across our differences when my covenant with God defines my community with you. Now, you can apply this to all the different differences that I listed, but time won't permit for me to cover all the differences in one weekend. So I'm going to show us how this applies to loving one another across our various ethnic differences, our various ethnic backgrounds, and why that is God's plan for each one of us. From Genesis to Revelation, we see that this is the case. In Genesis, for example, God tells us that we are created in the image of God, male and female, He created us. The psalmist teaches us in Psalm 139 that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So then, whether you are male or female, whatever ethnicity you are, you are created in the image of God. You have been given the highest image that you can be given. Whatever skin color you may have, whether you're male or female, God made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and therefore I honor you. And there's a key here for us, because when I honor the image of God in others, I protect the image of God in me. I love how Martin Luther King said it. He said, quote, "Every person must decide whether they will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness." Because God created each one of us in His image, God has given us every reason to walk in the light of creative altruism in finding ways to love and to honor one another across our differences, whether male or female or whatever color of skin that you may have. From Genesis and Psalms, we move then to Jesus and Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. He says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.'" Now put a pin in that, because we're going to come back to that. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That word translated nations in English, what the word that Jesus actually used there is the word ethnos, which is where we get our word ethnicity. So then what Jesus is saying is that the gospel is for everyone. It's for all nations. It's for all ethnos. It's for all ethnicities. That's yet another reason to love one another across our differences. In Revelation, we're told this in Revelation 7:9. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, from every nation," there it is again, "from every ethnos, every tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So Genesis and Psalms, Jesus in the book of Matthews and Revelation, this is not a complete list in the scriptures, but it is clear that God's plan is and has always been that we honor and love one another across our differences. The command to love one another, it's not a new command. God's plan to gather people of every tribe, tongue, and nation is not a new plan. And notice here who they're gathered around. They're gathered around the throne of God and the Lamb of God, who is Jesus. They are not gathered around the counterfeit gods of secularism. Secularism is too inconsistent in its doctrines to do this. The cultural observer G.K. Chesterton once said it this way, "For all denunciation implies a moral doctrine of some kind, and the secularist doubts not only the institution he denounces, but the doctrine by which he denounces it. As a politician, he will cry out that war is a waste of life, and then as a philosopher, that all life is a waste of time. The man of this school goes first to a political meeting where he complains that people are treated as if they were beasts, and then he takes his hat and his umbrella and goes to a scientific meeting where he proves that they practically are beasts." In short, the modern revolutionist, being an infinite skeptic, is always engaged in undermining his own minds. In his book on politics, he attacks men for trampling on morality. In his book on ethics, he attacks morality for trampling upon men. Human secularism can't provide the why. And yet, if we listen closely, there are some secular voices that are calling for people to love one another across our differences. And it's the right thing to do, but their worldview fails to tell them why. If you ask them, they'll just say, I just think it's the right thing to do. Everybody knows that, but not everybody knows it, because if everybody knows it, everybody would do it. For those of us who are Christians, this becomes a doorway of connection with our secular friends to the gospel, to show them that God's word gives us the why of why we are to love one another. As God's word says in 1 John 3, verse 11 and on, this is the message we have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And then in verse 16, we know what real love is because of Christ. And Christ gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. So then, in practical terms, how can we love one another well across our differences? Well, I'm going to give you five things. Five things. They're going to be short. Here we go. We love across our differences by initiating. 1 John 2, 6 says this, those who say that they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And so a brief sampling of Jesus' relationships gives us some clues to how Jesus loved across our differences. In John 4, for example, Jesus initiates a conversation with a Samaritan woman who is both a different gender as well as a different ethnicity than Jesus. And we are told that in John chapter 4, verse 9, the woman, when he initiated, she was surprised. For the Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. There was a difference, a divide there. But in that case, Jesus initiates and they have a conversation. And the woman and eventually that whole Samaritan town eventually expresses their faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world. All because Jesus initiated. And another example, in Mark 5, Jesus initiates from love to someone who's a Gentile living on the Roman side of the Sea of Galilee. We see it in another example, in Matthew 8, Jesus spends time with a Roman centurion who was not Jewish, he was Gentile. The list could go on, but the point is this. We love across our differences by initiating loving relationships with one another. The second thing we see is this, is that we love across our differences by forgiving. When Jesus initiated towards the Samaritan woman, it went stunningly well. The whole town ended up coming to faith in Christ. But if we're honest, when you initiate relationship, it doesn't always go that well when we try to love across our differences, not even for Jesus. In fact, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus sent his messengers ahead to a different Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. They decided that they would not welcome him because he was a Jew on his way to Jerusalem, and they were Samaritans. And the disciples who were with Jesus, they suggested that they call down fire from heaven to burn them. But Jesus, even though maybe he was disappointed or inconvenienced or even maybe hurt by these Samaritans, Jesus apparently forgave them since he rebuked his disciples for their suggested plan. When we love across our differences, patience and forgiveness for one another will often be needed, like Jesus exemplified. And we can do this. We can forgive and have patience because Christ has done it for each one of us who are followers of Jesus. When our focus is on the forgiveness that God has given us, then I become equipped to love across our differences by being patient and forgiving you, and likewise, you're equipped to be patient and forgiving me. Are we a perfect church here at Christian Assembly? Absolutely not. But we are a forgiven church by Jesus. So then each one of us must do our part to become part of not only being a forgiven church, but being a forgiving church. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, he said it this way, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. And when we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. Well, if we keep initiating, sometimes it will go stunningly well, and other times not so much. And that's when we have to choose to forgive like Jesus chose to do. The third thing about how we can love one another across our differences is we can love across our differences by praying. Jesus' longest recorded prayer is in John 17, and I want to give you just a little snippet of it, beginning in verse 20, where he prays and he says this, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning the disciples that were with him back whenever he was walking in the flesh on the earth. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them, meaning anyone who ever believes in Jesus, may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Well, in John 17, Jesus prays for a lot of things in that whole long prayer. But notice specifically here that Jesus prays for the unity of the church. And he gives us a clue as to how that happens when he says, I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So then, therefore, believers can have unity, union with Christ, with Jesus, and believers can have union with God the Father through Christ. And then lastly, believers have union with each other as a result of their union with God in Christ. Now, to be one, that means a lot of things, but it goes far beyond just tolerating one another. It means desiring and doing good for the other person as you would do for yourself. We can be tempted to think here that prayer is less important than what we say or do with one another. And yet, true prayer actually changes what we say and do with one another. You see, the more connected I am to my Heavenly Father in prayer, the more empowered I become to keep laying down my life for my brothers and sisters in Christ, of any and every ethnicity. The less I pray, though, in contrast, the more my flesh, my fears, my sin, my selfishness gains control over my thoughts and my attitudes and my actions. And notice here, the prayer is not that we would all be the same. Jesus prays that we would be one. And we can pray that too. And we're told here that the greatest proof to the world that Jesus is the Messiah is a church who loves one another across our differences until we are brought to complete unity. The fourth way, the fourth how that we can love across our differences is this. We love across our differences by carrying one another's burdens. Galatians 6, verse 2 says it this way, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You see, prayer is both an act of love for one another, but it is also the precursor of actions of love born out of our prayer for one another. For example, Jesus prayed this prayer that we just read from John 17. But we can't be devoid and see it in a vacuum, because then he got up and he went to the cross. He did the greatest action of love to pay the price for our sin so that we could be reconciled back to God and thereby then be reconciled to one another. We too, we must find our actions that the Father has assigned for us to take, that is born out of prayer, to love one another across our differences. 1 John 3:18 says this, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions." So we do both. We pray in love, and then we act from prayer. Let me give you just some real-time examples of this, of loving across our differences born out of prayer. For example, not every person at CA is a Filipino, but we all cared for and carried the burden of the recent typhoon damage in the Philippines. In fact, the church, you all gave money, and we're a multi-ethnic church, a lot of different ethnicities, gave money, and then we were to take some of that money and give it to the Philippines for relief, for food and helping repair some buildings. Or another one that I've shared with us all recently is that not every person at CA is Armenian. But we all cared for and carried the burden of the war in Armenia, both in prayer, but also sending money from our common offerings that we gave for relief and for food and clothing. So we carried one another's burdens in that way. But we can carry one another's burdens in other ways too. For example, as the events of the news of the Capitol building hit the news, I had many different people reach out to me from our congregation, and that included people of both genders and all different ethnicities. And I want to tell you about just one conversation. This woman, she's a Black woman. She reached out to me because she was grieved and disturbed by the images that she saw in the news, and she was burdened. And honestly, I was too. And I know many of others of us were too. And some of the images that I saw and were sent to me, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? They made me want to just pull my covers over my head and go to sleep for a few months. I mean, they made me feel emotionally exhausted and spiritually depleted. But my sister in Christ was grieving, and I didn't want to leave her alone in her grief. And honestly, I didn't want to be alone in mine either. You know, grief is interesting. When somebody experiences a grief, we can kind of back up from them when they experience grief. Whether it's the grief of the loss of a loved one or a job, or in this case, grief for the state of our country. And people will say to me, "Tom, I know someone who's going through a grief. They just lost a loved one or whatever is going on." And they'll say this, "I want them to know that I care, but I don't know what to say, and I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing." Listen, I get it. I feel the same way. But we can't let those feelings make us do nothing. Do what you can do. Here's what I do. Here's just what I do. When I lean in towards someone's grief, I just tell them the truth to break the ice. I go and I'm talking with them and I just say, "Look, I don't know what to say. And I'm afraid maybe I'll say the wrong thing. And the last thing I want to do is make your grief worse. But I want you to know that I care. And I'm here to listen and to bear the grief with you." With grief, part of the way that we can carry someone's burden is to just be a compassionate listener. James 1, verse 19 says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you all must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." So I call my friend and I say, "How are you doing with all of this heartbreaking news?" And she responded in a way that both delighted me and surprised me. She said this, she said, "Well, let's talk about that. But first, Tom, how are you holding up as a pastor of our beloved congregation with so much pain and so many lives in so many ways? It must be tiring." And I was struck on the phone that here I was calling to express my care for her, and she started by doing the same for me. We talked, we grieved, we lamented, we prayed together. At the end of that call, I asked her what else I could do to serve her and show her how much I loved her. And she said, you know, I can't think of anything else. If I think of anything else, I'll let you know. Now, did we change the whole world with that one phone call? No, we didn't. But we did fulfill the law of Christ by carrying one another's burdens in that moment in time. Romans 12, verse 15 says this, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. You know, the thing about harmony is you're not singing the same notes, but you are singing the same song. Perfect words? I can't do that. Carry a burden? Love one another with my actions. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Because of Christ at work in us, that is something we each can do. The fifth and final thing is this. We love across our differences by delighting in one another. You know, loving across our differences is not always easy. Sometimes we misunderstand one another. We miscommunicate with one another. Sometimes we hurt one another, even sin against one another, where we need to repent and confess and forgive one another. And we do that because of God's work in us and to be part of protecting and working towards the unity of the church that Jesus prayed for and calls us to pray for. And yet there's another part of all of this that we must not miss, which is the sheer delight and joy when you realize that you're part of something that God is doing. Ephesians 2:14 says it this way, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews, that's one ethnicity, and Gentiles, that's all the other non-Jewish ethnicities, into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. So then we can be reconciled to God in Christ, and then we might become one people. The Apostle Paul, who by the way was Jewish, and he's writing to a predominantly Gentile congregation in Rome, says it this way in Romans 12:10, love each other with genuine affection. Genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Well, one of the greatest gifts of Los Angeles is the fact that God has gathered people seemingly from every background into one city. We don't have to go across the globe in order to meet people of a different background. People from every nation seem to call this city home. So I don't have to travel and get on an airplane to go to the far-flung corners of the globe to experience the delight of knowing and honoring brothers and sisters in Christ of a wide variety of ethnicities. And I love that. And as I look at my closest circle of Christian friends, there are people of every ethnicity. And I delight in each one of them. And hopefully, and I say this kind of humbly, I pray and hope that sometimes they delight and find joy in me as well. Well, speaking of taking delight and honoring one another, next weekend as part of our Kingdom Weekend, you're going to meet one of my dear brothers in Christ. His name's Trayvon Evans, who has become a true delight to me. We met a couple of years ago through a mutual friend because Trayvon wanted to plant a church. And he asked me, through our mutual connection, we got to know each other, he asked me if I would mentor him in that endeavor. And I prayed about it, but I ended up telling him, listen, I will mentor you on that on one condition, if you will also mentor me, because we've had different experiences and iron sharpens iron. Well, he's become one of our Kingdom partners here at CA, as we've discerned as a group of elders, and he's become one of our church planners, and I want you to know him. And I know that you will be delighted to hear all that God is doing through him, as well as all of us together with this new church plant that we're partnered with. As we love one another across our differences, may we never lose sight of the sheer joy and delight that we get to be part of God's plan. Individuals from every tribe, tongue, and ethnicity reconciled to God in Christ, and then to one another in Christ too. J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring, there's a great scene where Frodo reflects on all of the current events that were happening in the movie and the turmoil he is facing, and he says this, I wish it need not happened in my time. And the wise Gandalf responds by saying, So do I. And so do all who live in such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what we will do with the time that is given to us. Listen, church, though there is much that we all wish would need not happen in our time, the reality is that it has. And now the question is, what will we decide? Will I let the pressure of the pandemic and of this season cause me to back up and withdraw from loving others who are different than me in the body of Christ? Or will I double down and love across our differences because my covenant with God defines my community with you? As I stare at my own blank page of 2021, will I be like Bach, staring at a blank page of composition? And will I go first like Bach did to the all-strengthening Christ and say, JJ, Jesus, Yuva, Jesu, Yuva, Jesus, help me. Help me to do what I can do to initiate and forgive and pray and carry and delight in my brothers and sisters of every tribe and every tongue and ethnicity. And Jesus, as you help me, may each action that I take be a note of love on the composition page of my life that combine together to become a symphony of praise to you. And if that would happen, then at the end, I too, like Bach, will sign off with SDG. To God alone goes the glory. Let's pray. Father, let us now do what you've called and strengthened us to do, commanded us to do, to love one another as ourselves, to let our covenant with you define our community with one another. Mark us with your love for one another. Jesus, help. May your work in us be so strong that we are brought to complete unity, and that the world may know, Father, that you sent Jesus the Christ, and that you have loved us even as you have loved Jesus. I pray this all. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, will you join me now as we close our time in a song of worship, as we join people of every tribe, tongue, and nation gathered around the throne of Christ in praise and worship for his goodness and all that he has done.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been Well, thank you once again for joining us for this online worship service. Once again, we'd like to remind you that if you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during this service, or would simply like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, you can let us know, and we'd love to have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address that's on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. And now, let me close us with this benediction out of Psalms 112. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be pleased. See you next week, everyone.